It's the Troopany Show with your host, James Troopany.
Hello and welcome to the Troopany Show. My name is James Troopany. This is my show, which you are listening to on iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcast from. And we'd like to thank you very much for listening to the Troopany Show. If you'd like to support us, please, please subscribe to our Patreon account to help us keep the running costs at this here podcast free forever for everybody. And joining me today is Mr. Alexander Watt of the BBC to discuss Wrestle Kingdom 12. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, I'm very well. It's just before Christmas as we're recording this, so busy. I'm also, don't think my wife would appreciate me saying this, but I think I might be more excited for Wrestle Kingdom than I am for Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be good. This is going to be really, really good. I'm actually, we were due to be joined by Mr. Simon Heath, who is back in the Shire in North Lincolnshire for Christmas, but unfortunately he got transpennined, which means his train was late, so he couldn't come and join us in the office today. So it's just me and Alex.
Because British public transport is awful.
Chelsea was trying to ask us, what's a transpennine? Earlier.
It's just something that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's got me around the country many, many times, but not Simon today. We're looking at Wrestle Kingdom 12. We're looking at the big show for New Japan Pro Wrestling, January 4th, the Tokyo Dome, their annual Fiesta of Pro Wrestling. And we have a bunch of matches to discuss. In fact, we have 10 matches to discuss. So we'd best crack on. We'll start with the opener, which is always and traditionally the New Japan Rumble, which was last year won by, I believe it was Michael Elgin, wasn't it? And he turned it into an Intercontinental title shot. So I have no particular outstanding likely winners. It's going to be everybody who's not on the card. So you're looking at the old Chargers, the young starters, people like Nagata and Tenkozy and the young boys. So anyone who's going to stand out for you this time, Alex?
There's no kind of obvious omission from the main card, is there, that I can see? Like Elgin last year was quite an obvious guy who wasn't on the main show, whereas this year I'm struggling to think, because they've basically thrown everyone else into the six-man tag match, which we'll discuss in a bit. Yeah. It seems like pretty much everyone is on the card, apart from, like you say, the sort of old-timers and the young boys. So it might be it's one of the young boys who takes it, you know. There's a few of them who are very, really getting over, so
I'm wondering if Jushin Liger's going to win this, as he didn't do that well in the Best of Super Juniors, and usually this is a nice throwaway title to win. Jado, the former New Japan booker, won it 2 years ago. So
he did, of course.
Yes,
yeah.
Which surprised everybody, because he just more or less turned up last and accidentally won. So I'm wondering if Jushin Liger could be an outside bet for this.
That's a good shout, yeah. There'll probably be a couple of surprises in there as well. There were last year, like Cheeseburger showing up and people like that. So
Scott Norton,
of course. Was it last year Haku showed up?
It was last year. We're gonna
So they always throw a few random curveballs in.
We're gonna have no Great Kabuki this year. He retired last week. God bless you, sir, for the services to professional wrestling you have given down the years in Texas, in Japan, and in Puerto Rico. You, sir, were an absolute star for All Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and for the Texas Wrestling Territory. Gary Hart's protege, essentially the father of the Great Muta. But no Kabuki this year. He's done.
Everyone's retiring at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
All the legends are retiring.
Yes, we're going to run out of legends. We best make some new ones fairly quickly, to be honest.
Yeah, don't worry, I think New Japan have got that covered, to be honest.
So we've got no picks for this Rumble, then, apart from Jushin Liger being an outsider.
I think Jushin Liger's a very good shout, or, yeah, someone like Kitamura or something like that from the young boys, they might think, let's do that, but it's probably going to be just someone completely out of left field who isn't even announced. we can't even predict, because that seems to be the way it's gone for the last few years. So
okay, then. Well, we'll move on then to match two, the opener, which is Rapingi 3K, Sho and Yo versus the Young Bucks for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. This is going to be good, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to see a young team on the rise, Sho and Yo have got it in spades. They are charismatic, they are good looking, they can tag team like there is no tomorrow, and they're going up again.
They do a good tag team.
They do, and they are going up against the greatest tag team in the world today, the Young Bucks. So, Alex, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Young Bucks are the greatest tag team in the world today. I'm sure that will annoy people who watched a dropkick spot out of context and got really angry the past week or so. We'd been
grown men watch this.
It's so tiresome. Like, just the thing was, like, just to go off on a little tangenty rant thing. I watched WWE Clash of Champions, and the tag match there was exactly the same. They were just doing like spots that you could just be like, well, that makes no sense. It's like, okay. but when they do it, it's fine. Okay, I see. I see what's going on here. The Young Bucks are just heat magnets, basically, who get blamed for everything that's wrong with wrestling.
Yeah, but if you actually look in the comments of that tweet, someone said, how many of your shirts have sold in Hot Topic this week?
Well, exactly. And I mean, I'm kind of surprised they haven't already got a new t-shirt design out based on this on this whole controversy. That's what they usually do. But yes, in terms of the match itself, yeah, very, very much looking forward to it. Obviously, we said the Young Bucks are incredible. And Roppongi 3K have been, like you say, they're really over. They're learning fast. They're a really good team. I guess the main interesting thing is here. I mean, we're assuming this will be the opener. I think it'll be a very good opener as well to get things going. If they give them like quarter of an hour or so, it'll be very fast paced and fun, I would think. The question is, are they going to stick with Roppongi 3K, who they've got behind big time with them winning the titles and then winning the, junior tag league, which I don't even know if that's happened before.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying they will, and purely on the grounds of it's a big money match for that 10,000 seater in Chicago, isn't it?
Yes, but then I wonder if they'll go back to the Bucks and have Roppongi chase a little bit, which they do like to do in New Japan, as we've we'll discuss in a few of the other matches, no doubt, down the line.
They do, but I mean, in a non-kayfabe world, the Bucks have asked for a reduced schedule in New Japan. They're not regulars for New Japan anymore. They're only Ring of Honor regulars, so I'm wondering if that's going to play
that's
into this.
That's true. Yeah, you might be right on that one. I mean, I hope they do stick with Roppongi 3K, because I think, you know, they've really got behind them. I think it would be a shame for them to go back to kind of the old reliable, basically, in the Bucks, who, you know, the Bucks don't need the belts, ultimately, is the other point. They can come in and they're always going to be over and they're always going to have great matches. So hopefully they stick with Roppongi 3K for now. We shall see. Either way, it's going to be a great opener, I think.
Yep, I agree with that. Then we move on to the gauntlet match for the NEVER Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Championships. Deep breath. Which is going to be Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa versus Chaos, Beretta, Tommy Hero, Ishii, and Tori Yano versus the regular army of Michael Elgin, War Machine, Hansen, and Raymond Rowe versus Suzuki Gun, Tai Chi, Takeshi Iizuka, and Zack Sabre Jr., who must be wondering what the hell he's done wrong. Taguchi Japan versus Taguchi Japan, Juice Robinson, Ryosuke Taguchi, and Togi Makabe, who's on loan from GBH. They've done a transfer. This is going to be a mess. I will predict this will be all over the place. And I'm going to say Chaos are going to win. That's my pick.
Do you know, I've not even thought about who is actually going to win this match, because it's just like so many things. I mean, the main thing is you kind of stole my line there of Zack Sabre Jr. Like, has he pissed someone off backstage? Like, I do really feel for Zach and Ishii, who had very good years last year and are kind of just making up the numbers, sadly.
They've got stuck because there's nothing they can do about it. You know, Beretta's been on fire since he's been a heavyweight as well, let's be honest. And it is just like
Beretta as well, yeah.
They want all the titles defended, someone has to challenge for him. So
yeah, it's basically that. This is very much the let's get everyone else on the card match, sadly. I think looking at that rundown, I think Chaos is probably the most likely winners because, like you say, Barrett is really hot. Ishii, so he's always amazing, as yeah. we constantly say on this podcast. And then Yano is extremely popular as well. So that will probably be the best bet if they have no concrete plans for those guys in the near future, given the belts, and which is kind of what they did with LIJ last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't have solid plans for those three going forward, but they wanted them to be featured constantly. So I think that's probably the best bet. Obviously, War Machine look to be on their way. If the rumors are to be believed,
we've been saying this since July.
We have, but this does legitimately look like, because I think they've told New Japan to wind down their schedule and stuff. It looks like them and Ricochet are going to be popping up in NXT, probably around Mania weekend, one would assume.
Right.
So it won't be them basically winning, and also Michael Adam's awful. But we'll go past. We'll just move past that swiftly.
We haven't got time to go into it today, but go look him up on Twitter and you'll find out what's been going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, just looking down the rest of them. Yeah, I think Chaos is the best bet. And like you say, it's probably going to be a bit of a cluster, this one. But it wasn't. I mean, last year when they did it, there were some very cool moments in it. I felt like it was maybe a bit too long last year.
Yeah.
So they might need to
tighten it up a bit.
Cut down. Yeah, because I think we've said there's like 10 matches on this card, or 9 matches on the main card. Yeah.
10 matches. Yeah, 9 and 10, yeah.
Yeah. And once you get into the tail end, those matches are going to be long. So you don't want this one to go ages, or the card will be like a WWE card. It'll last forever. So hopefully it'll be fun. That's the main
tight
thing. If they can, sorry, go on.
Tight, crisp, and entertaining is what we're looking for here, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, then we move on to match 4, which would have been a Ring of Honor World Championship match. However, Cody drops the title to Dalton Castle 2 weeks ago and is now just having a singles match with Kota Ibushi. Who'd have thunk it? Dalton Castle wins the Ring of Honor World Championship. I think that young man is absolutely fantastic. He is over like Rover with the Ring of Honor crowd, which is perhaps the most surprising thing that happened in 2017. And yeah, well deserved to Dalton, but it does shorten us up a championship match in this particular card. So, Alex, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's a shame as well that get Dalton over to New Japan would be nice.
For me, the big thing to have been, I'm guessing they're paying Cody a regular contract, so obviously they want him there. But the obvious thing to do would have been replace Cody with Dalton. But what are you going to do with Cody?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, they could have maybe done a triple threat, but they've already got the 4-way match late in the card. They don't like to do too much of that in New Japan. So. Yeah. But hopefully, down the line, we'll get a little bit of Dalton in there because they've got the big cross-promotional stuff with Ring of Honor. The deal's still going, so that will be nice. In terms of Cody and his sexy new hair, which got people talking as well, and the fact that he looks like Slim Shady, or like he should be a member of Erasure, or Dolph Lundgren, or any any number of those jokes.
If he wants to look like his dad, he's going to have to grow it out a bit, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm probably putting a bit more timber as well, let's be honest. But no, I think in terms of the match itself, I wonder if this now lets Ibushi win, whether New Japan will want to do that after Cody's just lost the Ring of Honor title. It really depends on the plans for those guys going forward. We thought Ibushi, I think probably was the plan that Ibushi would take on Omega at this show, but they got the Jericho deal done.
Yeah.
And it's understandable that they would want to go with that instead, but they are obviously still in the background building to an Ibushi Omega clash down the line. So
they need some time to build that from the G1.
They do,
But
I suppose they've also been teasing Cody and Omega as well, but that's gone a bit quieter probably because they all realize they don't want to split up the Bullet Club when they are making a lot of money as a unit. So I think that's why it's gone quiet on that front. So I think probably they would want Ibushi to go over, particularly when he lost to Tanahashi the other month in the big match. So this opens them up to do it, because obviously he wasn't going to win. We say obviously, but he wasn't going to win the Ring of Honor title off Cody if that had been the stipulation. So
yeah, and this also
I think this opens them up to do an Ibushi win.
I think Ibushi can probably take the loss better than Cody can, because he's supposed to be this unbeatable heel champion. But then again, you can tell the story of Cody falling apart. You know, he's lost the Ring of Honor championship. He defined himself. This character defined himself by being the world's heavyweight champion, and he's no longer that. Where does he go from here? And that stretches over Ring of Honor, Rev Pro, and New Japan. You know, so
yep.
Because they exactly. had because Cody had the fallout with Mighty Skrull at Rev Pro. So there's things they can layer into that with Dissent in Bullet Club. And then you've got options when you get to Wrestle Kingdom 13 of Cody versus Omega, or Cody versus Ibushi, or Ibushi versus Omega, or Ibushi versus Marty Skrull going up to the heavyweight division to challenge Cody for a title. There's bunches of stuff you can do with that.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, that would play nicely to the tension within Bullet Club if they want to keep going down that line. Yeah. We'll see. We will see.
Okay, then. Match 5, Killer Elite Squad, the current IWGP Heavyweight Champions, David Boy Smith and Lance Archer, will defend against Los Ignorables de Japón, Evil and Sanada in what should be an absolutely barnstorming match, because you've got two guys in Los Ignorables who can really go. And you've got two guys in David Boy Smith and Lance Archer who can go with the right guys, and I don't think they've had the right guys yet. Guerrilla of Destiny have been fantastic, don't get me wrong, but they haven't clicked with Killer Elite Squad the way they perhaps should have done. But to be honest with you, they've had War Machine in the way, so it's been good, but it's not been great, whereas this has the opportunity to be great.
Yes, I agree. The thing with Killer Elite Squad as well, which we touched on at the time, they completely overdid those three-way matches when they could have gone. They could have done some single tags with all the teams and probably freshened it up a bit more. But I agree, yeah, Guerrillas of Destiny and Killer Elite Squad never quite clicked the way they should have done. But I think this is the one. I'm glad Evil and Sanada are getting this shot as well. I was really happy to see them win the tag league. I think, you know, Evil obviously had a massive year last year with the G1, and then getting the title shot against Okada. There was a worry after that they might just go back into like the shuffle and get lost again, which Sanada sadly has a little bit, I think, in the last year. Which we touched on the 6-man tag stuff. It felt like they were just there, so they were still featured. And Sanada's like a future world champion. We've said that a bunch of times. He's so, so good. And Evil is so good as well. So I think, as well as the fact this should be a great match with the talent involved, I really hope that they go with Evil and Sanada as the champs, because I think them getting featured even more as a team could be really interesting, especially if the main event goes the way we think it will. Then they've got a great story to tell of LIJ holding these big titles and probably running roughshod over the whole of New Japan in 2018.
That's a strong possibility. And if you do it with a smaller squad, as opposed to Chaos, which is pretty big, and Bullet Club, which is massive, if you're doing it with a tight unit of people, then that's going to be more impressive for LIJ.
Exactly. And they are the hottest team in Japan at the moment. I know Bullet Club worldwide and their own thing, but in Japan at the moment, LIJ are the thing, with Naito obviously being the spearhead of that, as we'll discuss in a bit. But yeah, hopefully Sanada and Evil win here.
We shall see what happens. And then we go into the meat of the matter. We're looking at the heavy, heavy stuff, and it does not get much heavier than Minoru Suzuki defending the Never Open Weight Championship versus Hirooki Goto in a no interference Kamakiri hair versus hair death match, which is not something you think you would see on a New Japan show. Hair versus hair in Japan has a strong lineage, and not necessarily from men's wrestling. It's the ultimate challenge match in Joshi. It's a women's thing, really, not a men's thing. But Minoru Suzuki...
And we spoke about it quite a bit on the Minami Toyota.
Yeah, we did.
Didn't we? Just to give that a little plug there.
Yes. And Minoru Suzuki is a big fan of Joshi. He hangs out with the Stardom crew from time to time. One of his best mates is Aja Kong, who's been in a fair share of her versus her matches. If you want to look at one...
By the way, the coolest friendship ever, right?
if you want to find the best hair versus hair match I think I've ever seen, it's Bull Nakano and Kyoko Inoue versus Aja Kong and Bison Kimura from All Japan Women in 1991, and it is drastic. it's something else. You've got to go watch that match. But yeah, so if you want to look up some hair versus hair matches to get you in the mood, I'd also recommend Jagyu Yokota versus the Galactica from 1980. And of course, the classic series of hair versus hair matches between Chigusa Nagayo and Dump Matsumoto. They're something else to watch. J-Pure, formerly Japan's Women Project, have got their own hair versus hair match coming up soon as well. It's in vogue at the moment and has very historical importance. And it kind of tells the redemption story for Goto of being lost in the shuffle for a year. He finally gets another title shot, and it's back at his old championship that he did have a bit of time trying to make his own, but he never really got the impression that he owned that belt the way that other people have, the way that Minoru Suzuki has. So it's a good bit of redemption for the guy who's always the person who doesn't quite get there. I'm picking Goto for a win here. What do you think, Alex?
Yes, it always seems like he's in the midst of a redemption story, Goto. it's unfortunate because you just got me thinking then, the NEVER title, he maybe didn't make his own. He had that run with the Intercontinental title prior to that, which he could maybe level the same criticisms of him at him. I think it's we say all the time about Goto, he's very much the nearly man, he's booked that way, and sadly, I think the fans see him that way now. He's definitely got to win here. For starters, he can't lose his lovely hair. Like, he would look... I'm not sure I want to live in a world where Goto has no hair, to be honest. The other thing is, how's the stipulation going to work? What's a non-interference death match? Exactly.
Well, death match means no count out, no DQ. None of the seconds are allowed at ringside. So nobody from Chaos, nobody from Suzuki-gun.
Okay. So I have a feeling that the ref will get knocked down at some point, and we will maybe see that Suzuki-gun still try and interfere.
I would think so, but I have a feeling that you're going to get Toriyano, Ishii, and Beretta hot on their heels.
Yes. The obvious story to tell would be Suzuki-gun try and interfere, it backfires on them finally, and Goto overcomes the odds and wins. Very simple, classic story that I imagine they'll go with.
It'd be strange
to see Suzuki without his sort of classic hair as well, to be fair, but I think Goto stands to lose more by not having his hair.
I'm going to tweet Emily Reed and see what she feels about this, because I've got a feeling she's going to be quite upset.
I think, because there's Emily, and then there's also Chrissy, who runs Arrest and Sexism and New Japan GIFs, who's the biggest Goto fan in the world. So I imagine they're both having breakdowns at the moment over the fact that these two are going to clash and one of them is going to have to lose their hair.
That is the big question from Wrestle Kingdom. Who's going to be happier, Chrissy or Emily?
Yeah, that's the big backstory.
Someone's going to be quite upset. But we'll see what happens.
Also, in terms of the match itself, it's going to be quite violent, we should say as well. They do like to slap the crap out of each other, Suzuki and Goto, so I'm sure that will be fun to watch as well.
It will be. This is serious business. We're having a bit of a laugh at its expense, but genuinely, this is wrestling at its highest level. These guys don't like one another in the story. I'm pretty sure they get on because they're two of the most professional wrestlers I've ever come across. But in the backstory, they can't stand each other. This is what wrestling's about. This is the fun stuff for us, you know.
And they do have a habit, both of them, of having very good matches at Wrestle Kingdoms.
They do, very much so.
Beat them up, drag out affairs at Wrestle Kingdoms.
Yeah, definitely. So then we move on to the four-way match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. You wait for a British IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion for 30 years, and then two come along at once.
Yes.
Much like ourselves, former WrestleTalk employee Marty Skrull is current champion representing Bullet Club. Hiromu Takahashi is the former champion looking to get the title back. Kushida is a former champion looking to get the title back. And Will Ospreay, representing Chaos, is a former champion looking to get the title back. So this is the been billed as the four best junior heavyweights in New Japan Pro Wrestling, gutting it out for the junior heavyweight title. I'm interested to see this because New Japan do four ways well. This isn't the obvious throw the person out so we can do our spots, throw the person back in so we can do our spots kind of thing that we normally see. They do plot and plan these very, very well, so I'm looking forward to what they come up with for this. As for a winner, I'm kind of sticking with Marty Skrull. I think he might hold the championship for a little longer, and then either Kushida or Takahashi will get it back from him. That's kind of my pick at the moment. I'm not really sure. Being a Chaos guy, I should go for Will Ospreay, but I'm kind of erring towards Marty Skrull. Could give him some definition to that championship and give him a longer run. Establish him and then see, you know, because Takahashi, since he lost the title, has been far more entertaining as a non-champion than he was as a champion, and he was really entertaining as a champion. So I'm looking forward to see what he could come up with. And Kushida, as the babyface, is often better as the person chasing the belt. So I'm not really sure here. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, we'll come on to a potential winner in a second, because it is very difficult to call, which I think is what makes this match one of the standouts on the card, as well as like the talent involved. It's genuinely difficult to figure out who's going to win. Like you say, with the guys involved and the way they plot these four ways, it should be absolutely incredible. I'm sure there'll be lots of cool spots and they'll want to make it memorable. This is Marty Skrull's first Wrestle Kingdom. It's the highest Ospreay's been featured on there. So I think they're going to go all out basically to try and steal the show, although very, very big task to try and steal this show, I would say. But, yeah, I mean, God knows who's going to win. I'd like to see them keep it on Skrull because I like what he's doing. But I mean, the story technically probably should say that it's going to go back on Hiromu. Because obviously he kept trying to make the challenge and kept getting cut off in quite comical ways. And he kept trying to, you know, protect himself and stuff like that. And finally got the challenge in only for it to be a four-way match. So I think I'd like to see him take it back because I loved his run as champ, for the first half of this year, but 2017. Because it felt so fresh and different. And plus, it'd be nice to see Daryl wearing sort of a tiny replica belt.
Oh, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and you know he'd do something like that. So, in terms of, you mentioned potential Skrull, I think Kushida is better chasing, and he's held that belt a lot recently. So I think they should go a slightly different route. Ospreay, they might go with again, because it was kind of a shock that he even lost it in the first place after, you know, that big win over Kushida was huge in a very good match. They obviously had some great matches last year, so it was surprising to see him lose it so quickly. So I'm going to go with Hiromu, but honestly, who knows, really? Other than it's going to be a very good match indeed,
well,
I think.
Well, if you look at the long-term booking arcs of all these wrestlers, the obvious thing is Hiromu. There was a lot of criticism that Hiromu dropped the title so soon, and a lot of people would like to see him held it longer. They were onto a hot thing with Hiromu, and people are feeling they've passed him by, and I don't think they did, but I think they saw that he could do a lot more without the belt, and he has done.
He certainly has.
Yes.
He's got a stuffed cat over to be one of the most over, more over than most of the roster. So,
yeah.
There you go.
More over than the Global Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship. And, you know, the story of Will Ospreay and Marty Skrull has been Will Ospreay finds success, Marty Skrull comes and spoils it for him. So, this could be a nice twist to that story if Ospreay wins. There's four ways they can go, and they're all equally valid, and they would all draw money.
Yes, exactly. I think, like I say, that's what makes this even more appealing because it is so difficult to call. They could go any way. So
yeah, because even if Kishida,
be a lot of,
sorry, Karen.
I was just going to say that they'll have a lot of drama, I'm sure, down the stretch on that with false finishes and stuff, because no one can really tell where it's going to go.
Yeah, and of course, if Kushida wins the championship, he's the ace. That's what's supposed to happen. So, yeah, there is no losers in this match, whichever way they go, which is a booker is the best thing you can possibly manage.
Exactly.
Right then, now we get into the semi-main event territory. The Intercontinental Championship, Hiroshi Tanahashi defends his championship against Switchblade Jay White. Switchblade Jay White makes his shocking return a couple of months ago, beats up Tanahashi, walks away saying it was always going to be about me and you. And this is a bit of a risk because I love Jay White. I think Jay White works incredibly hard. He's gone off as an excursion. The bits I saw him in Ring of Honor were very, very good. He was on The Art of Wrestling recently. He comes across as a level-headed cat who wants to do the job properly. He's professional. He's got the look. He's got everything, but he's a classic babyface playing a heel character, which works in Japan because that'll work fine. And he seems to have got it, as far as I can tell. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I think the character's really interesting. He's got a cool look. He's, like you say, they like embracing sort of cool heels over there anyway, so it's not necessarily too much of an issue that, like you say, he's definitely better as a babyface, but this is, you know, this is chance to do something different, and it seems to be working so far. I think, you know, working against Tanahashi, I mean, Tanahashi will make you look like a heel because he is so good at being a babyface, as we know. I think it's just what an opportunity for a young guy to go in at the Dome and take on Hiroshi Tanahashi in, you know, one of the biggest matches on the card for the Intercontinental title. Besides the fact that I'm sure it'll be a very good match because Tanahashi doesn't have bad matches, as we know. even when they're less good, they're still better than most of what most other wrestlers can do. So, I guess the big question is, are they going to go all the way and put the belt on Jay White? I'm leaning towards yes, they will, because they've shown with, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I agree with you completely. Carry on.
They've shown with, like, Roppongi 3K that they're more than happy to do that. Well, with Hiromu as well. He'd obviously was more experienced, but he came straight in and won the belt. And yeah, Roppongi 3K winning so much stuff. And I think they'll probably do the same with Jay White. You've also got the issue that Tanahashi is basically, his limbs are almost falling off at this point because he's working through so many injuries. Like, that dude needs some time off. And we've spoken about this a few times that he's not as needed now.
No.
Because New Japan have done a very good job of building stars to step in for Tanahashi, which wasn't true 2 or 3 years ago. They were very reliant on him still, which is why they kept going back to Tanahashi and Okada. Or part of the reason it was also to really cement Okada as the top guy in the company. But now you've got Okada, you've got Omega, you've got Naito as those top three guys that now is the time I think he needs to just take a few months off, have surgery if he needs it, rest up, and then no doubt he'll be back for the G1 to have a ridiculous run through the G1 because that's what he does. So yeah, I think it would just be classic Tanahashi as well to go out, you know, putting a guy over and making him look like $1 million.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Jay will grow into this role, and if he's given a championship this early, they clearly believed in him. They believed in him when he was a young boy, unless they wouldn't they wouldn't have spent the money to send him on excursion to learn all those different styles and audience reactions. They want him to do good work for them in the long run, you know. So yes, I think it is going to be an absolute barnstormer, and I will look for Jay White to take the, pardon me, to take the Intercontinental Championship. Now we are at the business end, match 9. Kenny Omega, the IWGP United States Heavyweight Champion, defends his belt in a no disqualification match against Chris Jericho, Alpha versus Omega, though we all know there's only one Alpha in pro wrestling, and that's Alpha Female. in a match that was made at the World Tag League Finals, and Chris Jericho comes down, and beats up Kenny Omega. He was what actually made the month before when Chris Jericho appeared on the video screen. And then the next month at the World Tag League Finals, Kenny Omega gets beaten and blooded by Chris Jericho in something that he said on the Jim Ross report this week that was something that was more satisfying to him, because he said, we weren't bleeding for the sake of it, we were bleeding to get a story over. So this is the match between the two greatest wrestlers in Winnipeg history, apart from Rosemary from Impact Wrestling. So what do you think of this, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, wow. This has been so well built in such a short period of time. Obviously, I don't know if we spoke about this on mic or off mic, but in terms of how well it was done, no one thought that was what they were setting up on Twitter. They just assumed it was Jericho was getting Omega to come on the cruise and stuff like that. So it was genuinely break the internet kind of stuff when Jericho popped up on the big screen in New Japan. And then as if that wasn't, it was already enough that they had this dream match basically, and Jericho was going to be in New Japan for the first time in God knows how many
16 years,
years
I think.
16 years. There you go. And yeah, that angle they did, well, both the angles were just amazing. Like, to take it from this dream match to a blood feud so quickly, like in just two really simple angles, they turned it up a notch and made it must see. Like, I've been saying to people, like, in two angles, they've made it a better, you know, a better rivalry than most of the stuff you've seen in wrestling all year.
Like,
it was very old school, very 80s NWA in terms of the promos and the blood, which is all kind of rare stuff in Japan, and they were obviously doing it to be different and to stand out and do something different. I mean, Jericho, like, in terms of the character, like, it's another example of him reinventing himself, which he's so good at doing. He was already coming off this great run in WWE, one of the best of his career, and then he's doing something completely different again, working full on heel. Obviously delighted to have the PG shackles off as well, with the amount of swearing he's been doing and stuff like that. Like the stuff at the press conference with Kenny running in, attacking him, and then being pulled apart and stuff. It's all very simple old school booking, but it's not stuff they do as much in New Japan, and it's been really cool to see. Obviously we've spoke a little bit about, it's just such a good idea that they've got now this great main event for the US and worldwide audience. And then they've got the perfect main event, which we'll speak about in a bit, for the Japanese audience in Naito and Okada, which is why this should be the most successful Wrestle Kingdom ever, because they're appealing to so many different types of people. The ticket sales have been through the roof, and I'm sure the New Japan World subscriptions will go up on the back of this as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I mean, in terms of the match itself, it's no DQ now, like you say, which is an interesting one. I wonder if it's slightly, without being harsh to Jericho, is slightly to cover up for any limitations he might have. You know, he's not as young as he used to be, and Omega is a very difficult guy to keep pace with. And obviously the output he's been putting out this year, people expect a lot from Omega matches now. So I'm not sure how this no DQ thing's going to manifest itself, but I think it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, Omega will no doubt do a crazy table spot or something like that, which he's want to do. But I think it's a cool idea in the sense that now they are completely different from the main event as well. They don't necessarily have to worry about, we have to go out there and top what Okada and Naito are inevitably going to try and do, is probably raise the bar very high. They can just go out and have like a blood feud match. I think it's going to be really interesting.
It's going to be something very different to what we've been used to seeing on New Japan Pro Wrestling. This is going to be closer to what all Japan used to do in the 80s with Stan Hansen and Jumbo Tsuruta, I think. This is going
exactly. That's a very good point, which is probably also a big inspiration on it as well. And I think we're probably all expecting Omega to win it, but New Japan does love to throw those curveballs in, so
well,
it depends. It depends if Jericho's got a one-shot deal or not, doesn't it?
Well, from what we've heard, Jericho has got a one-shot deal. This is one and done, apparently. Having said that, it's a Ring of Honor, guys.
This is the thing.
Yeah,
we don't know.
We don't know.
Because we didn't even expect him to show up in the first place. So.
No, and, you know, the Ring of Honor guys are going on his cruise next year. It's Ring of Honor who are organizing that, who are tight with the New Japan office. You know, he could have got, you know, he's a WWE. He's got a really good working relationship with Triple H and Vince McMahon. He probably could have got the NXT guys to go do it, you would think, or at least a bunch of them to go do it to make it big names on the show. But he got the Ring of Honor guys to do it. There has
well,
been...
I believe the talk he said was he did ask NXT first,
yeah,
and they said no, so he was like, all right, well, I'll go to Ring of Honor then.
Yeah.
Obviously doesn't have a contract with WWE now,
so he can do what he wants.
Which they kept so quiet as well. I don't know how that went under the radar that he
they may not have noticed.
Pardon?
They may not have noticed.
Yeah.
The thing is, send CM Punk his firing orders on his wedding day. I'm sure they can forget about Chris Jericho ruining our contract.
True.
So,
but supposedly, like Jericho said, he asked, not necessarily asked permission, but explained to Vince McMahon that he was going to do this and explained his reasons behind it. And I don't think there's a lot of heat there or anything like that.
No,
so.
Reports have been that Vince and Triple H think it's a really good idea. They think it's really, really cool because it gives him a different edge and he's going to go do something different. So, yeah.
Which is interesting in that sense, because kind of implies that they don't see New Japan as big competition still.
Oh, but they do.
You wonder. I mean, it's.
I don't think
this is going to take them to another level.
Yeah,
as well.
I don't think they see New Japan as big competition. But certainly, why would you sign Hideo Itami? Why would you sign Shinsuke Nakamura? Why would you sign even Asuka? Without trying to appeal to that market. They know there's something there that they can tap into, but whether they can do it as well as New Japan do, or even as well as All Japan or Noah do, that's a different issue. They get big crowds when they go, don't get me wrong, and there are big stars in WWE that are big stars in Japan, and I'm not knocking the efforts they put in Japan, but they're not going to get the same footprint that they get, say, in Europe. And even now, they don't get the same footprint as they used to do in Europe, because there are big companies like ICW and Progress and WXW in Germany who are chipping, chipping away. Now, Progress and ICW have a very good working relationship with the WWE. WXW don't. But there is, you know, there is the, not, there's, it's never going to go back to the way it was. You're not going to have Otto Wanz in Austria running five shows a day in three different countries. It's just not going to happen. But you're certainly going to have a more international market, and Japan's the hard one for WWE to crack, just as Mexico is the hard one, because CMLL and AAA are so good at what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there have been some arguments that AAA haven't been as good as they used to be, but, you know, WWE is not going to do Lucha Libre the way AAA could do Lucha Libre. They just can't. They're not wired that way. So we'll see. But there you go.
I mean, on the back of that, which we were saying, we think Jericho's got a one and done deal, but they could be keeping it quiet. If he has got signed on for maybe a couple more shows, then maybe they will throw in the curveball and have Jericho win it. It really depends on his schedule and stuff like that. He's been, I mean, for starters, they've got the US shows in March, I believe, off the top of my head. So if he could sign on for a few more shows and that didn't clash with the Fozzy tour, then they would want him on that show, you know, to, that's going to shift more tickets if they put Jericho Omega rematch on that show. But this is all very much fantasy booking. Like, we just don't know.
We don't know what their plan is, you know.
And he has been also taking a lot of in-character shots at Tetsuya Naito as well, which could be setting something up or could just be, you know, him having fun. Because obviously with the co-main stuff and things like that, it's a double main event. Jericho's obviously been having a lot of fun having digs at Naito about that. Naito's history with double main event issues. So you never know, basically. But I'd assume that Kenny Omega will be retaining. But we'll see if they throw us a curveball.
We definitely will. And that leads us indeed to the main event of the evening. Kazuchika Okada of Chaos defends his IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Tetsuya Naito, the G1 Climax winner. This is for all the marbles. Kazuchika Okada, the greatest IWGP Heavyweight Champion of all time. If he wins this match, more defenses, more days, more time in charge as the boss of New Japan than anyone else ever. Versus Tetsuya Naito, the man who's trying to stop him. And Tetsuya Naito has been on fire since the G1 Climax tournament. He's been on fire all year, but Okada has been that bit better. This is going to be absolutely unbelievable. If these guys do not deliver the best wrestling match that we've ever seen in the last 5 years, I'd be amazed, because they just can't not do it. These guys are the two most talented male wrestlers I've seen in 20 years. If these guys can't get it done, there is something seriously wrong, and they will. So, things we need to know. Who's going to win? How long will the match go? Alex, your thoughts.
Oh, where do we even begin with this? Like, I am extremely excited for this one, as I think everyone is, like, who watches New Japan regularly. This is, I think, a lesson to every wrestling company in how you build a match and a feud over a substantial period of time, which, of course, Gedo and Jeddo are the masters of long-term booking. I mean, I was someone who thought they made a mistake taking the IWGP title off Naito so quickly a couple of years ago when he won it off Okada. I was wrong, basically. Because, of course, Gedo had the longest-term plan to get to this match, which is one of the biggest matches ever, I would say. They played the long game. Yeah, it's why he's the best booker in the business, basically. We say it all the time. This is basically a, what, 4-5 year story arc?
Five years.
Yeah.
I would say,
basically, sorry.
I was going to say, I think this story arc starts when Naito wins the Never Openweight Championship. That's really when it starts. Or you could argue, if you're really going back, this starts when Naito gets kicked out of Chaos.
Yeah, I think it really builds up steam when he wins the G1 the first time as a babyface, and it doesn't work. And then we've spoken about plenty of times of he was supposed to be the main event challenging Okada. There was a fan vote. It got relegated below Nakamura against Tanahashi into the co-main slot. And that was the beginning of Naito's character change and doing the LIJ stuff, becoming the best heel in the business, and now becoming the most kind of
over character.
Well, most over character, but he's not a heel now. He's going into this as the super over babyface. Okada is going to be playing the heel in this one, by all accounts, because Naito is the biggest babyface in the company, basically, by being this, I guess, outsider who doesn't play by the rules has got him so over. And who would have thought that, like, 4 or 5 years ago, when, you know, people who are just coming to New Japan now would not believe that Naito was the blandest babyface you've probably ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's why he had so much trouble getting over when he was kind of one of the chosen ones of New Japan to lead the next generation. He had this complete character change, and everyone was just like, where's this guy been? You know, because the issue was never his in-ring stuff. He's always been this good in the ring, and he's just got better and better as Okada has and as Omega has. It's just, his character work's just been unbelievable. I mean, in terms of the storytelling here, this is very, very long-term, and you would assume that the payoff is that Naito is going to beat him at the Dome in the main event, which will be the ultimate culmination of the storyline. But, you know, we've said it before with Tanahashi and Okada a few years ago. We were like, this is the moment when Okada wins and Tanahashi retained. And they extended that for another year. It worked. They could do the same thing again. I wouldn't put it past them.
That was the year that Okada left in tears. And Tanahashi had the belt on his shoulder, and we're all going, what?
Yeah. Which, again, it's like, we should just whatever they do now, New Japan is just like, it's probably the right decision, and it'll pay off in the long run, because they do it all the time. They're just so good at thinking years down the line.
Because this is what I'm talking about. If you go back to, I think it's 2010, 2011, Yujiro Takahashi, the Tokyo Pimp, was tagging with Tetsuya Naito in a junior heavyweight tag team that were part of Chaos. Takahashi turns on Naito, kicks him out of Chaos, and then Naito goes on this long journey as the Stardust Genius. So I think it was Wrestle Kingdom 8. He has this match with the Great Muta. It was billed as the two wrestling geniuses of the 21st century.
I think that might have been Wrestle Kingdom 7.
Wrestle Kingdom 7. And Naito loses that to a nearly 50-year-old guy that works for a completely different company. You know, they beat on him for years on end, and beat on him, and the fans beat on him. They just didn't like him. They just could not get behind this overly earnest, sanctimonious, bland baby face with all the personality of wet cardboard. And I'm not making this up. He was atrociously bad as a baby face.
But it was like your Tommy Dreamers and even John Cena and Roman Reigns now. It was worse even than that sort of stuff. Like, the crowd just, there wasn't even portions of the crowd that liked him, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, the really big turning point for him was the feud he had with Tomohiro Ishii over the NEVER Openweight Championship. And Ishii was in the heel faction Chaos, who'd kicked him out. Ishii was one of the people that personally disposed of him. Naito comes into the feud, and they boo him out the building. You know, and he didn't cope with it well as a character, and that's really where the genesis of the current Naito character came from. That feud with Ishii, I think it was Invasion Attack in 2014. It was on the undercard of the Nakamura Tanahashi match for the Intercontinental Championship.
It was unbelievable.
Was absolutely unreal, that match, because Naito, though he wasn't very popular, always had crowd support because he was the babyface. But Ishii, it was like calling the dogs with the fans on that day, and that's when Naito started to snap. And it then took 3 years to get to this point where he is now the most popular and over character in the company, and he's challenging the guy, Kazuchika Okada, who waltzed into the company in 2012 and walked straight to the main event.
Yeah.
That is the story in itself.
There's so many different facets to this story. It's just so good.
and Okada himself, you know, you're looking at this story of, can he make it to be in the greatest of all time? At 27, you know, he's the best... 29. No, that's, 29. But he's the best wrestler on earth at 29 years old. He's not going to get truly great for another 5 years. And as Steve Austin is so often fond of saying when talking about Okada, he doesn't do much. He doesn't waste his time. He gets everything done. He is just click, click, click. Perfect. He sells better than anybody else. He's on offense. He's just as good as anyone else. He hasn't got a massive range of stuff, but everything he's got works perfectly and is executed every time, and the best dropkick in wrestling has ever seen.
Yes, correct.
So this is it. This is as good as it gets, folks. This is the best wrestling card you will see in 2018, if 2017 is anything to go by, because if you go back to our awards from the last couple of weeks, you will have heard us wax lyrical about how great Wrestle Kingdom 11 was.
Yes, and this is the thing, you've touched on it earlier. Perhaps the only concern is now Okada and Naito have got to go out there and try and better all that. And you know they're going to want to, and you know if this is the culmination to this story and all the history between the two, they're going to want to have one of the best matches ever. Unfortunately, they're coming off a year where they've both had ridiculous, levels of matches. Okada and Omega trilogy, obviously, Naito's match with Omega, but all sorts of matches on top of that, in terms of Okada's title reign and the stuff Naito did with Tanahashi, with Elgin.
With Ishii at the US Championship Tournament.
Yes, yeah. There's just,
And about,
you're kind of almost worried that, the bar's been set so high and they're going to try and better it. That's the only worry, is they're going to, kill themselves, basically, to have this classic match.
Well, I mean, when Okada won the championship from Tanahashi, it was a story that was told in the house shows. You know, mm-hmm. Tanahashi changed his whole game. He went to finish with the Texas Cloverleaf because he wanted to take out Okada's legs. No legs for Okada means no dropkick, means no Rainmaker, means no pile driver. You know, if I can take out his legs. And the story was told in the house show. It was every 300-seater in the north end of Sendai. That's where he did it. And the loyalists loved it. And that's the reason why that match was so important. Tanahashi started telling the story after the G1 climax. And the same thing has happened with this. The story for Chaos versus LIJ started long before the G1 climax. And those tag matches have been sometimes the best things on the card. You know, when you've been watching those house shows, when you've been watching the Road 2 shows, some of those matches have been absolutely phenomenal. And that's where they put the money in and put the time in, the cast of characters. You're not just talking about Naito versus Okada. You had Naito falling out with Evil after the G1 climax because Evil had a championship shot against Okada. You had all these matches that were telling these stories, linking things in. Chaos start to get the upper hand over LIJ in the autumn in those tag matches. That's really important. It gives you an idea of where the bookers are looking to do. They're trying things out. They're seeing what will fit. They're giving the guys a chance to work with each other without giving away the store. And that's what makes New Japan booking so, so good, because they lay everything out and then they put the chess pieces in place. And 2 years down the line, we're going, that's the best wrestling match we've seen in 20 years.
Mm. And on top of that, they're also, Okada's been doing this new submission. They're adding little wrinkles into it like that. It wouldn't shock me if Naito comes out with a new finisher at Wrestle Kingdom, to try and put Okada away, because the Destino hasn't been putting people down like it used to. I'm sure Naito will kick out of a Rainmaker. He has before. You've got that wrinkle that he's one of only three guys who've ever kicked out of a Rainmaker. There's all sorts of stuff going into this. Like you say, Okada, who's broken every record, for championship. He's the longest reigning IWGP champion ever. I think he takes the record for longest combined reigns, like a day or two before January the 4th when Wrestle Kingdom happens. So there's just all sorts of story stuff that's gone into this.
Yeah, you've got Chaos, the defenders of Strong Style, against LIJ, these Mexican-influenced outsiders who didn't get the fair shake. It's just so many stories that you're telling with this. It's the old school versus the new school, but the old school guy is younger than the new school guy. There's so many layers to tell this story with, and it's been so well put together. And, you know, then at the end of this match, if Omega wins and beats Jericho, which we think he will do because he's got to keep the championship, he's waiting in the wings for whoever wins this championship, because there's your three aces of the company, and Omega isn't in the main event this time, but he will be soon.
Mm. And obviously, you've got the ready-made feud with him and Naito on the back of the G1 Climax final, which was any other year is match of the year. As we've said a bunch of times, like, that match was insanity. It wouldn't surprise me if that's their next big feud they're planning on.
Yeah, so we will see what happens with that. But it all roads lead to the Tokyo Dome on January the 4th. If you're going to Tokyo, have fun, have a safe trip. If you're not, and you're just going to watch it on New Japan World, get up early, watch the whole thing, watch the Battle Royal. Last year, I watched bits of it on the bus on the way to me dad's. as soon as I ran out of signal when I got to Lawton, because there's no signal in mid-Lincolnshire, but what can you do? Watch the whole thing if you can, because it will be absolutely amazing. Enjoy the show. I'd like to thank my guest for today, Mr. Alexander Watt of the BBC. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, yeah. Very jealous of anyone who is going to Tokyo, by the way, for this one, because, God, yeah, that it's some card.
We'll be back next week. Thank you very much. You can follow us at Troopany Show on the Twitter, and you can follow me at Sheriff Lone Star. You can follow Alex @Alex187 on Twitter.
AlexWatt187.
Oh dear, I'll try again. At AlexWatt187 on Twitter. You can
always get it wrong.
I always get it wrong. you can find us on our Facebook page. We're posting stuff all the time. We're going back to old shows and putting out things that are appropriate on our podcast of the day. And you can support us on Patreon. Please, please do, because that will enable the Troopany Show to be free forever for everyone, which is what we're aiming for. Thank you very much for your time today. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week.
We'll be right back.